is entitled, Sardis is Dead. Let me tell you something. As the other speakers have brought out, this is a message from Jesus Christ to the churches. And this church in Sardis had a good reputation. I mean, you're going to see as we read in just a minute from Revelation 3, beginning in verse 1, this church had a name. And I was just thinking, you and I go up to one another and say, good morning, brother so-and-so. Good morning, sister so-and-so. And you know what? Those people may not even be our brother anymore. They may be dead and they don't know it. You may be dead and don't know it. Because let me tell you, when you're dead, how much do you feel? You don't feel anything. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that I personally fear almost more than anything else, and that is that I become insensitive and I become dead emotionally to the Lord and to His love and His grace and His power. And I tell you, I see decadence all around me. Yes, I see vitality and I see exuberance. And I don't know about you, but man, I've enjoyed these song services and these special numbers and all that we've had. Hadn't that been good? But you know what? Some of the guys that have been singing or playing, or some of us who are preaching, we could be dead before God and you'd never know it. You guys believe that? Because Jesus said they've got a name. I mean, they had a reputation. You know, I get letters every once in a while, and it'll say from evangelist blank, 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 whoever. And, you know, I don't have that on my stationery because, and somebody up here at the rally said, what do we call you anyway, Don or Mr. Pinon or what? I said, just call me Don. I'm just Don, that's all. And I want to tell you this, that that we're all a bag of dust. And, you know, death is very real to me. And death has changed my whole outlook on life. I'm not recommending that all of you have tragedies. But I can tell you that when my brother was killed in 1948 in a car accident, and I dearly loved my brother, and in fact, in many ways, and I don't have time to explain all this, but in many ways, he's the one that brought me to the Lord. He didn't have all of the faith and baptism squared away at the last. But he and I spent 2 weeks, night and day, studying the Bible. And I actually think that it was a great help to him. But I'm telling you that when I got that phone call from my sister that says, brace yourself, Don, Lloyd was killed. And I did exactly what people do. I said in my mind, no, you don't understand. He isn't dead. He can't be. This couldn't have happened. And Within 2 hours, I was on a train heading from Ottumwa, Iowa to Hutchinson, Kansas, and I prayed nearly all the way there. And I want to tell you this, that I had bought Lloyd and Basil a plaque. It says, "All things work together for good to them that love God." And in those days, in that part of Kansas, the dead bodies were taken to the homes and people sat up with them 24 hours a day until the funeral. And over the casket of my brother was that plaque I'd bought. And I'm telling you, that was about all I could stand. My sister-in-law had the courage to put that over his casket. But I want to tell you something. My life has been blessed by death, because my brother was just helping his friend. My brother and his wife had gone out with another man and his wife from the church on a Bible study, and the guy had a flat tire, and my brother was just out helping him change the tire, and this guy that was drunk ran off of the road and hit the car, even though it had its tail lights on, and hit the car, smashed my brother between the two cars, and the people told me, they said, "Your brother bled to death on the highway." And I have stood at the bedside of many, many people, and I have to admit to you that as I have stood there, and especially when they have the deal on them where their pulse is up there and you can count it, and you stand there and you watch that pulse go down, and finally it's down to zero. And I'm telling you, sometimes I feel like I'm going to die with them. I mean, it's just, I don't know if you guys have been there or not, but I've been there over and over and over. And even Brother Word, I mean, bless his heart, he died of congestive heart failure. And the night he went to the hospital, when I took him in, he had to stop at the doctor's office. The doctor was a religious man, and he said, "I think the angels are flapping their wings tonight." And so the doctor gave the family a choice. You can either let him continue to fight, and he was fighting to get his breath, or you can give him some morphine to relieve the pain, and he might recover and he might die. And even though he had the morphine, Brother Word fought on. And so I stood at his bedside and read scriptures to him, and he whispered to me, "Don, I love you." And I prayed with him, and when I started out, he was breathing hard. And as I prayed, his breath just started slowing down, and I knew what was happening. He was going out into eternity. And I want to tell you what, you and I are going to go there too. Brother Word was 87 years old. My brother was 24. Been through World War II in the United States Air Force. Came home safely. But death is real. But I want to talk about another kind of death, and that's spiritual death. And if you will, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3. I might not have been quite as emotional if you hadn't played that song, one of them in there, "There's a Great Day Coming, Arlen," because there is a great day coming. But let's notice here in Revelation 3, he says, "And to the angel," or the messenger, "of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this." And one of the commentaries that I read on this said that he felt that the reason Jesus used the word seven spirits here is that it is the Spirit that gives life, and this church needed life that can come only from the Spirit of God. And let me tell you this morning. If any of you are in this audience and you have never had a born-again experience, I mean, you have never become a new creature in Christ, you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, then you don't have life. I don't care if your grandma, your grandpa, your great grandma and great grandma, and you and all everybody in your family is in the Lord's church. If you've never been born again, born of water and spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so this church no doubt had been converted, but now they need the Spirit of God. So he has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Jesus is holding the seven stars, and has already been pointed out in previous messages. Those stars represent the seven messengers, which I believe are the seven preachers of those congregations. Because it doesn't make sense that Jesus would send a message to some of his angels up in heaven and say, "You take this message down to the church." I mean, who's going to take the message? Well, the preacher that's there. And so, but here's something that Jesus knows that I don't know and you don't know. And that is, he said, "I know your deeds, and that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." And I want to tell you something. That's from somebody that knows. You know, I could stand up here and tell you, you guys are a bunch of deadheads. But I don't know that. But I want to tell you that. I want to tell you this, that the Christ that's speaking here, he knows. And you know, I marvel of the church at Ephesus was certainly a great church. And depending on the currency values and so forth, but as best I can figure, when the seven sons of Sceva got beat up on by the guy that had the demons in him, and they went down the street with their clothes torn off and their nose bloodied and their eyes blacked, and they were worse off than you, Ron, when Mike Magnuson beat up on you. Where are you, Mike? But anyway, they were going down the street, and because they tried to take on the devil, and they didn't have the power of God, and they got all beat up on. Well, let me tell you, they sold their witchcraft books, and the price of it was between $3 and $5 million of books they had no business having. And so I want to tell you this, that yeah, you and I can see the outward sins, but we don't see the stuff people have got hidden away in their heart, and we don't see the stuff that people are doing in secret, and young people in homes all alone, boys and girls, and you know, then the girl comes up pregnant or loses her virginity at least, and we say, "Well, how in the world did it happen?" Well, there were things in the heart, and God knows all about it. God knows if you men and you women are full of ill will, animosity, grudges, hatred, bitterness, all that stuff. And actually, I'll tell you that bitterness and animosity are one of the most honored sins in the church. I didn't forget my peace. You understand what I'm saying? You see? Yeah. Some of the most spiritual people can rip and tear other people. Oh, I'm holier than you are. Oh, yes, I am. I want to tell you something, my friend. You let Jesus praise you. Don't you be worrying about cutting the other guy down to exalt yourself. Well, what does Jesus say to these dead guys? He says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember therefore what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, let me tell you this. This church as a whole was dead, but there were a few people there that were still alive. And I want to tell you that dead churches, if you're not careful, will kill you. But there were some still alive in this church. And Jesus said, you guys, hold on. There was activity here. And I want you to know that this church, however, really needed restoring, and it was dead. Nekros, the Greek word. And only God can give life. But you and I must obey God. And again, who is saying this? Jesus Christ. He knows not just our profession, but he knows our thoughts, our deeds, and our attitudes. And you know what? We may need to wake up and strengthen the things that are about to die. Christ did not even commend this church for one thing. Now, the other churches, even those that he rebuked, he had some good things to say for them. But what good does he have to say for this church? Nothing. You're dead. You're dead. Now, he said there's a few people there that are still alive, but the bulk of the church was dead. And now, Sardis was, of course, one of the seven churches of Asia. And it was once the capital of the great kingdom of Lydia, and it was located about 100 miles east of Ephesus in Smyrna. And one commentary called them Sardians. And how many of you have ever eaten sardines? Well, you know, I couldn't help wondering as I read what that commentary said, that they were Sardians. I thought, well, maybe that's where we got the name sardines, you know, for sardines. And you know what sardines are? They're dead fish. And they're in a can with some, I don't know what all that goop is they got in there. Have you ever eaten them? Well, evidently you have. I've eaten them. Pardon me? You love them? Oh, boy. My dad loved them. Yeah, my dad loves sardines. Well, anyway, like I say, the only good thing I can say that Jesus said about this church is that they had a few folks that were still alive. Now, these churches were started by the revival fires that Paul brought about through his journeys, which he basically took three journeys that we have recorded across Asia and that area. And a lot of the commentaries that I read think that it was people that was converted in some of the other cities that came, like to Sardis and to Smyrna and to Laodicea and so forth. But they were started with revival fires. And no doubt were zealous at first for the Lord, but now they're dead. And I want to consider two things this morning about this situation. Number one is that dead is lifeless. When you're dead, you're lifeless. I know that we can all hear stories about some guy after he's dead, he jumps or something or jerks, but I mean, basically, he has no control over it. And one of my Greek dictionaries, it said, one who has breathed his last. He's breathed his last. He's spiritually dead, destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God, inactive as respects to doing right, powerless and fruitless. And I want to tell you this, that many people's lives are shallow and hollow because they don't walk with God. Now, nobody knows whether you knelt to pray this morning. And you know, we've been out preaching this summer. Nobody knows whether I pray or not. They don't know if I'm going to get down there beside my couch and kneel and pray to my God. But I want to tell you something, that if I'm going to be spiritually alive, I've got to take time to be alone with God. And I've got to take time to read the Word of God if I'm going to remain spiritually alive for the Lord. One that is dead has no feeling of guilt or responsibility of any kind and does not even recognize they have a problem because they are past feeling. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 19 has this to say. He says, and they have become callous. King James says, past feeling, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And I want to tell you this, that there are people in the church that can turn on their stereos, their CDs, their DVDs, their TVs, their internet, you name it, it's out there, and you can turn all that stuff on, and sometimes I absolutely marvel how people can listen to that and not even know what is being said and what is going on. They are calloused. They're dead. Spiritually dead. You guys understand that? I'll tell you, I'm going to be with you guys like that doctor was with me in Oregon that told me that I heaved one more time and he said, you're dead. I mean, he told me six times that night because I wanted to go home. And he said, you go home and heave one more time and break that thing and you're dead. Well, I want to tell you, there may be some of you right here that have already heaved too many times and you're already dead. You think I'm kidding? Listen, the church in Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. And I just want to tell you that young people and older people, all of us alike, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how popular you are, I don't care how good of a reputation you have, I just want you to know that you listen to the devil's rot. And it'll kill you. Now, you say, oh, there's some good stuff in it, too. Yeah, that's right. Hey, where's Jerry Smith? There he is. Now, Jerry Smith, you're a nice guy. But I want to tell you something. I would not want to be a rat in your house. Because what is it you set out for him? Deacon? Deacon. He set out deacon for him. And you know what deacon has in it? Yeah, it's got poison, but listen, it's got some good stuff in it. It's got some, listen, it tastes good. Yes, it does. It tastes good. Or that rat wouldn't eat it. Come on, you guys, wake up! Sure, there's some good on that boob tube. I don't have one of those things. And you want me to tell you something? Somebody says, well, would you look at it? I don't know. I'll tell you, I can't get too interested in TV. Do I think that the set's going to send you to hell? No. But like I think it was Craig said, one of you guys said, the stuff that's on it can. And I'll tell you what, people are past feeling. Let's take a look at Hebrews 3:13. And I know this scripture has been used before. He says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by what? The deceitfulness of sin. I want you to know, sin is deceitful. And it won't knock and say, I'm Mr. Devil. I'm coming over to pay you a visit, and I'm going to feed you some poison, and this is going to kill you. Not the way it works. He slips up and he brings in his filth, his rot. The airwaves right now in this room, these airwaves in this room are so full of all kinds of filth. If you got a machine, you can pick it up. Anything but a cell phone. And I don't know, they've told me there's a few places up here where your cell phone will work and I haven't found it yet. Off the tower? Well, my poor old cell phone, I've got it set over there on automatic and it's got a little thing on it that just keeps going round and round in a circle and says, looking for service. And it can't find it. And so if you got a cell phone, no, you can't pick it up. But I can tell you that other kind of machines can pick up a lot of stuff. The airwaves are full of it. And then let's take a look at Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. And notice here he says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with what? The lusts of deceit. The lusts of deceit. You see that word? Deceit is in there again. Now, incidentally, I might want to tell you this, that did you notice that there this church is not even charged with having any false teachers like some of the other churches were? Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. He says, "Who say to the seers, you must not see visions." We want positive. I read bulletins. I read papers from, I don't know, I get so many papers from so many churches, from so many places, but I read them, and some of them say that there is no negative preaching here. We believe in the love of God, and we believe in the grace of God, and so many of these churches are even called grace churches. Grace. I want to tell you, Sardis. Sardis was a grace church. They were so happy. I bet you they could even jump over a pew, maybe. Who knows? And shout, "Hallelujah!" And God says, "You're an empty shell. You're just so much noise." Well, you know, that's what God says in 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't have love in your heart, I mean, you can give your body to be burned. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. And I'm going to tell you this, that, yeah, it's great that God loves us. But you know what? Maybe you ought to try getting some love in your heart. And you say, "Yeah, but preacher, you know, we just don't know what it is to have people really give you trouble." No, I've never had any trouble in my life. No. I've never had anybody lie about me. Never have. I've lived a sheltered life. Sure I have. I want to tell you, we've got to make sure if somebody out here, if they do us wrong, that's their problem. But if I hate them, it becomes my problem. And if I let them make me bitter towards God, and I've heard people say, I just tell you, I don't even want to go to church anymore. I mean, there's just so many hypocrites in that church. I tell you, I just can't stand it. Well, you know what? I mean, there were even a few folks in Sardis that were still going to church there, and the church was dead. But they were still, some of them were still alive, and maybe. Maybe, just maybe, you might pray down a revival. I don't know. I mean, Jesus, and we'll talk more about this a little later on, except that clock keeps running. Anyway, Isaiah 30:10, these guys had already gotten all these negative preachers, they'd already got them all shut up. See? Then let's take the Isaiah 29, 9 through 14. He says, "Be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. And the entire vision shall be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is illiterate saying, no, literate saying, please read this, he will say, I cannot, for it is sealed. Then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, please read this, and he'll say, I can't read. Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. There you are, Craig, that word that you've been using lately. Learn by rote. I didn't do it on purpose. I just stumbled onto it. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place, and they say, who can see us, or who knows us? You turn things around. Oh, are sinners clever? Oh, I'll tell you they are. You know, just a few days ago, I read in the Rocky Mountain News where this guy has been killing people and for several years, and they've almost caught him several times, the article said. But here the other day, they caught him, and what was it he fessed up to killing? Wasn't it 41 people all over the United States? Seemed like Louisiana had the biggest batch, as I remember, killed in Louisiana. But he'd killed people all over the nation, and there was a detective that had gotten on his trail, and he slipped up. Boom! The guy got him and arrested him. But I want to tell you something. One of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get you. He's going to get me too. And we're going to stand before God. When we think we have attained, you better watch out. You think you're pretty spiritual? Let me tell you something. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. I want to tell you that I don't think that I'm some kind of a spiritual giant. I think that I'm still climbing. And I'm thankful that the Lord has let me live as long as He has, so I can study His Word and pray a little more before I go to judgment. But I'll tell you what, God's Spirit gives life. And when you and I are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit according to Acts 2:38. And Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. But the second part of my message is, what caused their death? You know, generally when people die, they want to know what caused their death. Now, whether you know it or not, when you die, there will be a death certificate made out for you. I mean, you know, all things being equal. And your death certificate will say, died from whatever. And what did these people die from? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. This is talking about all of us before we were born again before we were converted. And here's what the Bible says. He says, and you were dead in what? Your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. I just want to tell you this, that sin will separate you from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, a passage we're all familiar with, I'm sure. But he says, your sins have separated you from God. He says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. You know, you might kneel down to pray, but God might not listen because you've got sin in your life. And I just want to tell you this morning, if you think you're going to shake your fist at Almighty God, I want to tell you something, you're a dupe to the devil. Because you're nothing. And I want to tell you this, that the only way that you're going to live is with the power of God. Only God can give life. And when you get sin in your life, it's going to separate you from God. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just want you to know that you can listen to your worldly music. You go right ahead. Turn it up high. A lot of folks think I can't afford a stereo. And I pull up to the stoplight and they got theirs on so loud that man, I go boom, 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 boom. And you know, if I could make them hear, but I know I couldn't, I'd roll my window down and say, hey, I could buy one like that too. But I'm surprised sometimes at what Christians are listening to and what they're watching, what they're reading, how they're talking. Do you guys understand my sermon? Not too hard, is it? I want to tell you something. I've lived on both sides. I grew up in a backslidden church. I grew up in a dead church. My old dad, bless his heart, he nearly always had better convictions than the preacher did where we attended. I can still remember sitting in the car while my dad went in to talk to the preacher because he wasn't preaching the truth. He wasn't preaching against sin. And my dad was in there talking to him. But anyway, the church I attended was dead. And I know that now the Christian church has become sanctified. It has become holy. And it has become righteous. And many of our brethren are flocking into it. And they're saying, oh my, they've got love. They've got grace. Everything is great over here. Well, I just want to tell you something, that when they're still telling dirty stories, and they're still cussing, and they're still smoking, a lot of them, and drinking alcohol, and dressing like a harlot, I'll tell you, there's something wrong. And somehow or other, the grace of God, he knocked on my door, and I well remember I used to think that people that didn't go to movies were fanatics. And girls that dressed modest, I thought they were kind of out of fashion. And I sure didn't want to be like that. But then the Lord knocked at my heart's door. And I got converted. And my best friends, my senior year in high school, was when I started coming to the Lord. And I did what they told me to do in the faith-only group, and that is, I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me of all my sins. And my two best friends were sons of the Assembly of God Church there in Kansas where I was attending. And as far as this world was concerned, they were good boys. But I was doing things with those boys that I had no business doing and they had no business doing. And I went to school and I told them, I said, I gave my heart and my life to the Lord. And I'm not going to run with you anymore. And I had a girlfriend. I told her, I said, I repented of my sins and I gave my heart to the Lord and I'd like to study the Bible with you. And she said, well, I'd be glad to study the Bible with you. And so I don't know, I had two or three Bible studies with her and I asked her if she wanted to become a Christian and she said, no. So I told her, I said, well, I said, she said, but I'd like to keep studying the Bible. I said, no, I won't be back. I won't be back to go out with you again. I won't be back to study the Bible with you again because if I come over here, you'll pull me back into the old ways of sin. And so I broke up with my old girlfriend and I started searching the Scriptures. And I started searching. And I searched for probably 8 months before I found the real truth. And the night I was baptized into Christ, some of you have heard me say this before, but I stopped the preacher on the stairway into the baptistry and I said, preacher, I want to talk to the Lord just a little bit more because there was one thing in my life that the preacher told me there wasn't anything wrong with, but it was bothering my conscience. And so I told the Lord, I'm going to repent of this too. And I repented of everything that I even doubted to be wrong. And I thought they were crazy when they told me gosh and golly and heck and darn were all euphemisms. I thought you guys are a bunch of quacks. But I thought, well, if these guys think it's wrong, I'll quit it. So 2 or 3 years later, I got me a dictionary, unabridged. I looked them up. Sure enough, they were euphemisms for the name of God and the name of hell and the name of damn and all that stuff. And so I quit that stuff. And I want to tell you something. I started praying every day. I started walking with God. I started talking to people about my Jesus. There were two young men who were baptized into Christ there in Hutchinson before I left for Bible college. I was baptized in December and left for Bible college in February 1948. And I've been talking to people about the Lord ever since. And I don't want to quit. And I don't know where this message finds you. And I talked about having an invitation hymn. And I know it's good to have people come forward. And the truth of the matter is, you guys know good and well, I don't know if I hit anything you're guilty of or not. Did I miss you? Is there anybody here I missed? You know, I mean, nothing I said touched you. Nothing I said you were ever even thought about being guilty of. Well, if so, my apologies. But I'm going to tell you, God knows what's down in there. And so, if you need to make a commitment to God, I appeal to you to do it. But we're not going to sing an invitation hymn. And we are going to have a time of sharing. And if any of you want to say something, fine. And let me just restate what I stated at the first. You may be here today, and you may be a fine-looking Christian on the outside, but inside you may be dead. Sardis, and like I said, one of the commentaries I read, it just kind of struck my funny bone when he said they were called Sardians. And I thought, yeah, that's figures. Sardines are dead too. And the Sardians were dead. And you may be here, dead. And did the church in Sardis know they were dead? No, they didn't. And so, one of the most deadly things is to be walking around dead and not know it. And let me just say one more thing, and then I'm going to close. And that's this. You can resist my preaching. You can resist the preaching of all these other men. You can resist the pleadings of the Holy Spirit. Someday, you and I will stand before God, and the books are going to be opened, and it's all going to be laid bare. There'll be nothing hidden. And so I appeal to you, don't think you can outsmart God, because God's way ahead of you. He made your brain, not you. Let's stand for a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated.